This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover things happening around the Umpqua Valley. Well, a few days ago, the Cow Creek Band of the Umpqua Tribe of Indians, their foundation, did a big grant. They do that twice a year. Carmel Mornerich is the executive director here to talk about it. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, what was the big number for everything all together last week?
We gave away $759,930 to 93 nonprofit organizations.
Is that close to a record?
No, I think we've given like in the high 800s previously, but it's right up there. It's a great number.
Well, and obviously significant to help out that many different organizations. Now, talk about the region, because people maybe not understand how all that works.
Sure. So we give in a 7-county region in Southwest Oregon. So those counties include Coos, Deschutes, Douglas, Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, and Lane counties. And those counties are considered the kind of the homeland territory for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians, you know, before there were county lines.
So what's the process that leads up to all of this?
So, you know, we receive grant applications from nonprofit organizations. So they reach out to us and with phone call, usually look on our website, see if they can get their questions answered. And then they go through our online portal to apply. We have a 2-step process. Letter of inquiry, which is submitted online through our portal, and then the application after that. And we usually receive more than 100 applications for whatever funding we'll have available.
So not everybody that asks for money then is going to get some.
That's correct. Yes. We do have a review process, and we look at all kinds of things concerning each organization. And then some of them do not meet the qualifications that our board would like to see. And so they are essentially denied or, you know, given suggestions as to how they can maybe improve whatever their deficits were to perhaps apply again.
Now, you're doing all this with a pretty small staff, but also a board that helps you, right?
That's correct, yes. So I'm the director, and then I have they're contracted part-time program officers, and they assist me with reviewing the organizations that apply for grants. And then we do a 1-page summary of each organization that applies, and then we present those to the board. And, you know, sometimes the board will go with us on site visits or throw in their 2 cents on certain organizations that they're familiar about. But essentially, it's the board that's making the decisions based on, you know, the summaries that we give them.
So what are some of the criteria that you use in the whole process here?
Sure. So organizations need to be, being used by the community, needed in the community, doing some community fundraising, and then have to meet our criteria. So we've got 5 areas that we give in, and that's basic needs, abuse prevention, education, health and wellness, and community support. And so they have to fit in with one of those categories and be doing a good job and have clients that need them and just kind of be very well-rounded and to be considered for a grant.
So what kinds of things do you do in the vetting process? You mentioned site visits sometimes.
Sure. So we have a variety of things that we do. We can make a phone call to the organization if we have questions. We send them an email with questions. Usually kind of our standard operating procedure is if an organization has never applied to us before and they're brand new to us, we'll do a site visit and go visit with the director or or the board members and learn more about what they're doing, maybe see what they're doing. I had a wonderful 2 or 3 days over in Coos County. This time got to visit a number of organizations that were new to us, and I learned a lot. I even visited a couple in Douglas County that have been doing business with us for a while, but we hadn't gone to see them for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so I just arranged to have coffee with them or go visit and just learn a little bit more, refresh my memory about what they were doing.
What do you see about some of these organizations and the impact they have?
You know, all the organizations that we work with are meeting a community need, and it's really heartwarming to see how they are reaching out to the general public and folks that are receiving their services, and just seeing the impact that they are having in our community. You know, a lot of social service programs right now are getting cuts from federal and state funding. And so being able to have some foundation dollars fill in those gaps has been very helpful for some of those organizations that might not be able to maybe meet ends meet right now.
Have you ran into some of them that have had to do some pretty significant cuts and kind of rework how they're trying to provide essentially a lot of the same services?
Well, yes and no. I ran into a couple of them that have just decided to take a time out, and, you know, they don't have any federal funding or state funding right now. And so I know an organization that shut down for a month that just is going to, you know, try to maybe recalculate and open up again here in the next month or so. I've known organizations that are doing some major cutbacks and just going back to maybe what their core services were when they first began. You know, maybe they've expanded over the last 2 or 3 years and they've decided, whoa, we're not going to be able to do that, so I'm going to have to cut back. In fact, one of the organizations we funded in Douglas County, the day that I did the site visit, you know, the director told me that, you know, they had to cut 10 or 12 people from their payroll, but just because they didn't have the funding to pay for them.
Wow. And some of these organizations as well not only have got paid staff, but they're relying on a lot of volunteers too.
That's correct. And, you know, volunteering has really changed since COVID, and, you know, organizations, nonprofit organizations especially, are really trying to encourage folks to come back out and volunteer again, because, you know, now's the time that they really are in need for those volunteers to just help them, you know, make those ends come together and try to keep the organization on, you know, in floating.
You know, it's interesting. Here we are 6 years, essentially six and a half, well, not quite six, since the start of the pandemic, which shifted a lot of things in aspects like that. It seemed like people made a lot of lifestyle changes, and a lot of volunteer organizations, like you said, are still really feeling that.
Absolutely. I mean, I know folks made lifestyle changes. I know I did. I don't go into the office as much as I did, and I work a lot from home now because I can. We made that possible during COVID, and I think folks that used to volunteer a lot and that was kind of their job without pay, you know, they changed their routine, and folks just haven't gotten back into that routine. And I think a lot of nonprofit organizations are struggling these days because they don't have that volunteer base that they used to.
Now, are these organizations, do they really vary between how, you know, being larger and some being really small?
Yes, absolutely. We get the gamut of organizations. You know, I think the smallest organization we had during this grant cycle was in Dora, Oregon, which is just outside of Myrtle Point. It was for their library. They wanted to do a cooking program, so we gave them $2,900 to do a multi-generational cooking program that, you know, was going to focus on folks from 8 to 80. And so that was the smallest. And then, you know, we have large organizations like, you know, Continuum Health down in Josephine County. They're a huge multi-million dollar corporation. But, you know, they ask us for small things just to fit into their budget, so they have some kind of discretionary funds, because, you know, when they get grants from state or federal or other organizations, they're usually earmarked for where they can go. And so those large organizations, they really rely on foundation grants like ours to fill those gaps.
All right, we're going to talk more with Carmen Mornarich and focus on the Douglas County grants and more when we get back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, Congresswoman Val Hoyle will join us on Inside Douglas County. And Carmen Mornarich, Executive Director of the Cal-Free Umpqua Indian Foundation, in here with us this afternoon talking about the grants given out recently. Does it ever still stun you to have a job where, do you feel like a game show host almost?
Sometimes, and I just pinch myself because I just have the best job. Being able to, first of all, meet amazing people that run these nonprofits, and then second of all, be able to support their efforts in what they're doing. And it's just really awesome to see what's happening in our community. Everybody's got such big hearts, and you have to have heart for nonprofit work. And the folks that the Cow Creek Foundation supports, they have heart and they are into it. And we are so happy that they are there doing their great work.
Well, let's talk about Douglas County and the grants. Kind of run through the list there.
Okay. So CASA of Douglas County, they have been a grant recipient of ours for probably 20 years. They just do amazing stuff. We gave them $10,000 to recruit, train, and supervise and support their CASA volunteers in Douglas County. I think they're going to use some of this money to go out into more rural areas in southern Douglas County and northern Douglas County to reach out and get maybe more CASA volunteers that are going to help those kids in small rural communities.
All right, and who else do we have?
Cobb Children's Learning Center is going to get $10,000 to support their child care and early education tuition assistance program for low-income and working families.
And?
Douglas Community Library Association, they are getting $10,000 to support purchasing books for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which is a huge craze throughout Oregon right now and in the United States. And then they also have a Ready Readers program for older kids, and we're buying books for both of those programs.
You know, it's amazing to see, even in the limited amount of things that I know about it, just how this whole Dolly Parton Imagination Library program has evolved.
Boy, it just took off like wildfire, and it has swept the nation. And, you know, bless Dolly Parton for having such a great idea and making it happen. It's just really an awesome program.
All right. And then what else do we have around Douglas County?
So Family, Faith, and Relationship Advocates, they're OFARA. They are receiving $10,000 to support their parenting education program. It's their TIPS, Teaching Insight Parenting Strategies. And they're going to reach more than 350 people in Douglas County with these funds.
Now, I know there's a lot going on in Riddle right now, and you were able to help out the school district down there.
Right. The school district has had a big push to improve the playground at the elementary school, and they have help from the Trust for Public Lands is helping them do some fundraising down there. And so, we were able to help them with $8,000 to provide funding for play equipment and amenities down there for their community schoolyard.
And another long-term organization in Douglas County has been the Safe Haven Maternity Home.
That's right. Safe Haven Maternity Home has been around forever, but this program that we're funding, they're going to get $10,000 for their aftercare program. It's been going for a couple of years, but basically it provides ongoing guidance and connection to help prevent relapse and promote long-term stability for those folks that go through their program.
All right. And I know a couple of the different Catholic parishes you're helping with different things.
Right. So St. Francis Xavier of St. Vincent de Paul out in Sutherland, they are receiving $10,000 to support the construction of a 12-unit family shelter that is going to provide emergency housing for families with children who are experiencing homelessness. And they give them wraparound support and help them build their lives and maybe move on to more permanent housing.
And then also on the food side.
Right. So St. Joseph's Community Kitchen, we're all familiar with them. They just are just such a stand-up organization in our community, serving meals 2 days a week at the St. Joseph's Community Kitchen. And we're giving them $10,000 to help them do their just great work.
And, of course, you can't leave out the coastal part of the county.
That's right. Don't forget Winchester Bay. They have a community center and park that is just lovely over there. And their community center is an old building, and we're going to give them $10,000 to help with installation of a new heating and air conditioning system for their community center that hosts weddings and baby showers and other community events in Winchester Bay.
Well, and doing that kind of an upgrade is, you know, not cheap, but not doing it really limits what you're able to do.
Absolutely. They said they've been so limited in being able to have folks come and utilize their building, especially in winter. If they wanted to do like a daytime yoga class at noon, they would have a hard time getting folks there because it's too cold in the building and nobody wants to go there and, you know, do whatever event they want to have.
Or somebody has to show up 4 hours early and turn the heat on.
That's right. And with them, they've got plug-in space heaters placed throughout the building, because I went there and visited and they had space heaters kind of two or three in each big room trying to keep the place warm.
Well, and it says everybody knows that older systems aren't as efficient, so then you end up spending a bunch of money, which you probably don't have.
Absolutely. And, you know, their electric bill then goes up because they've got all these plugged-in space heaters around, and it's a vicious cycle. And so one of their directors over there said, let's try to write a grant. And she was the sweetest lady, and just we met, and she gave me a little tour of the community center, and anyway, they needed a heater really bad.
So most people are pretty familiar, but I'm sure there's newer folks that don't know where all this funding comes from.
Sure. So the funding comes from a certain percentage of Nevada-style gaming from Seven Feathers Casino and Resort, which is owned by the Cow Creek Band of the Umpqua Tribe of Indians. And so I emailed the accounting department, and they let me know what the percentage is that is available for foundation giving. And we're able to do that twice a year. Our deadlines are March 1st and September 1st each year.
And you gave out a couple of special awards as well.
Sure, we did. We gave out a Martha Young Award and a Buster Rondo Award. Martha Young was the founding executive director of the foundation. And for each of the awards, we try to pick a organization that might have been special to their heart. And for the Martha Young Award, we gave it to the United Way of Jackson County, their Hope Chest program, which focuses on families that are asset limited. Folks that they're employed, but they don't have enough money sometimes to make ends meet, so they might just need a little bit here and there. And so it's a special organization with a great program that kind of thinks outside the box in helping working families meet those needs that they have.
And tell us about the other award.
The Buster Rondo Award. You know, Buster Rondo was a pick yourself up by your bootstraps and get things done kind of guy. And we gave the award in his honor to Rogue Community College for a program that they've started where we're going to give that funding that we give, or it's going to be used for scholarships for folks to get a driver's license. So, you know, a driver's license is a barrier to, you know, rural living. If you don't have a driver's license, it's hard for you to get to work, get to school, buy groceries. And so our funding is going to go for scholarships for folks who don't have the funding to pay to get a driver's license. Our funds are going to help get folks that hand up they need in life.
And we're finding as well that a lot of people don't even try to get a license until later, a little later on. So this probably ties in with this happening at a community college.
Absolutely. And a lot of these folks that might get this scholarship aren't maybe community college bound, but to have them on campus, maybe they'll see that community college isn't that scary, and maybe they will choose to enter a higher education or training program based on their experience through this driver's ed program.
All right. If people want to find out more about the foundation, where do they go?
That we have a website. It's cowcreekfoundation.org. And I think there's a lot of information on there that'll give people some good education.
All right, Carmen Warner-Rich, Executive Director of the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.